blesses. Father, as we come to you tonight, we thank you. We've actually had a day of your presence. It's been phenomenal. And we come with hearts of gratitude. Thank you for a day when we're reminded, Holy Spirit, of your outpouring. Where we're reminded of how important a part of our lives you are. And Lord, tonight you said if we reach out to you, you will meet with us. Tonight you've told us that what we need to do is reach out to you, and we will find you in the midst of our need. Lord, that's our heart's desire tonight. As we continue with the service, may we reach out to you. May we connect with you. May we have a first-hand encounter with the Spirit of the living God. We ask for that tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. It's so exciting to preach on Pentecost. And Pentecost kind of crept up on us this year. It's like we had Passover or Easter. And then last week was Palm Sunday. And here we are at Pentecost. And it almost feels like, well, there should have been more to this. We should have maybe done more. But sometimes you need to just flow with how the Lord leads you. And let us just trust and enjoy the gentle moving of the Holy Spirit as He encourages us tonight, as He encourages us through Pentecost. And I believe the Lord's got a word for us. I believe that we'll go out enriched, encouraged, built up, and ready. And you know, we shouldn't just go from year to year. So once a year you focus on the Holy Spirit. But ready to live with the presence of the Most High God in our lives. Amen. So, without any further ado, we're celebrating Pentecost. What happened on Pentecost? Remember, the 120 were in the upper room and they were praying, they were seeking God's face, and all of a sudden there was like the sound of a rushing wind, and what appeared as flames of fire above them came upon them, and the people started speaking in tongues. And they made an absolute racket, a noise. And the people walking around in the streets, they'd come for the feast. And there were people from all sorts of nations that had come. And they heard people speaking in their own language. But when they initially heard it, it sounded, they actually mocked them. They said, "You guys are drunk. You're a bunch of drunk." Maybe they said, "You're a bunch of drunk losers." But they weren't drunk. They had the Holy Spirit poured out on them. And that's where I wanted to start speaking to you tonight. I wanted to just create that picture. And I want to tell you tonight, the message tonight is about the wonderful change that the Holy Spirit brings in our lives when He's poured out upon us. So if you've got your Bibles with you, turn to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to start reading in verse 36, and we're going to read through to verse 47. Quite a long piece of scripture, hence not a long introduction to the message. "So let everyone in Israel know for certain that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, to be both Lord and Messiah." This was Peter speaking to the crowd that had gathered to see the spectacle of these people speaking in tongues. "Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, 'Brothers, what should we do?' Peter replied, 'Each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. Then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. This promise is to you, to your children, and to those far away.'" And I'd like to say, to those in many distant generations, like you and I tonight. "All who have been called by the Lord our God." Then Peter continued preaching for a long time. You see, there's biblical, scriptural reason for long services. Amen. So I'm going to book until at least 8 o'clock tonight, and I've got a scriptural basis to do so. So Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." Those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, about 3,000 in all. We could use that. If you look at the empty chairs around us, we could use about 3,000 or more. Wouldn't it be wonderful to have a number problem in the church? And God can do it. "All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Isn't that a wonderful piece of scripture? It's the account of the birth of the church. That is the church according to scripture, the way it should be. If we look at ourselves as a church, as a congregation, as believers, we can go to that scripture in Acts chapter 2 and we can say, this is the model church. When we look at ourselves, sometimes we've got to look at that and say, well, the two aren't lining up properly. Amen? So tonight's message is all about that. It's about the change that the Holy Spirit brings. Is the sound too loud or is it okay? I can hear it up there and yeah, I just want to make sure I'm not blowing your ears out. Okay. So the first change that happened was these people that were walking in the streets and saw this happening. What were they doing? They were cynical, weren't they? They were religious Jews and proselytes, in other words, non-Jewish people that were members of the Jewish religion. So they were serving the God of the Jews. Okay? But they looked at these people that the Spirit had been poured out on, and they mocked them. They said, you're drunk. And they thought there was something wrong with them. And I want to show you that even in the midst of that cynical attitude, God brought about change. As Peter preached, 3,000, those same people that were mocking them came to know Jesus. Isn't that amazing? And so if you've been mocked or criticized for your faith, just know that God can change that by the power of His Holy Spirit. These people went from being cynical to being converts. The message of Jesus Christ and the result of the Holy Spirit being poured out upon their lives revolutionized their lives. It changed them. They became radical. They were known as radicals because the church was a radical organization in those days. It was a radical change in religion from the dead religion that the people had been practicing. God didn't create it as dead religion, but it had become dead religion. Traditions made by men. They converted God's word and they were following their own rules. And that is what is so dangerous about religion. We don't want no religion. We want a religion that's alive. We want a religion where Jesus Christ is Lord and the power of God is moving. Not something that is a form of godliness but denies its power. But we want the presence of God in our lives. Amen. Right, so let's go through some of those changes that came through the Holy Spirit as He was poured out. I'm going to try and preach quite quickly because I want to close this service with people responding and receiving a fresh anointing from the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to invite people forward and we're going to pray and we're going to anoint you and trust that the Holy Spirit gets poured out. So let's talk about this wonderful change that the Holy Spirit brings. And I've got 7 points and hopefully I can go through them fairly quickly. The first change is that the Holy Spirit comes and stirs the hearts of people. In Acts 2 verse 37 it says, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Their hearts were challenged and changed. In response to the teaching about Christ, the Holy Spirit brought a deep conviction upon their hearts. There's another scripture in 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. It says this, our gospel came to you not simply with words, but also with power, with the Holy Spirit, and with deep conviction. When the Holy Spirit is involved, He brings deep conviction. And I want to ask you this tonight, church. When last have you felt under deep conviction? When last has the Holy Spirit moved in your life and brought deep conviction about a circumstance, a situation, maybe an attitude that you've got towards somebody, maybe about your walk with the Lord? The Lord challenged us tonight in the prophetic word and He said, reach out to me and I will meet with you. Have you had a deep conviction burning in your spirit? When last? And if it hasn't been happening, I want to ask you if you will be pierced to the core, struck to the core of your being with deep conviction. And maybe you can say, I need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit tonight. And when you come forward, you can receive that from the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit that brings that deep conviction. But we need to be deeply stirred. If we're not being deeply stirred, then maybe there's the lacking of the power and the outflowing and the outworking of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So that is my first challenge to you. Secondly, when the Holy Spirit comes, we suddenly realize how much we need God. Maybe you were praising and worshiping the Lord yet tonight. and you just somehow touched the hem of his garment, and there was a deep stirring inside your spirit. And Lord, I just so desperately need you. Lord, I so desperately want to walk with you. Lord, I'm so desperate to draw closer to you. Maybe that was you sitting here tonight and the Lord working. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. It says in that same piece of scripture, Acts 2:37, when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart, and they said to Peter and the apostles, the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What will we do? What will I do about this deep conviction in my heart? How can I change it? How can I get to touch God the way I know that I need Him? The Holy Spirit will bring us to that place. These, as I said earlier, are the same people that were earlier cynical. They were mocking the disciples and those in the upper room. And then they came to the point where after Peter had preached, they said, what can we do? How can we change our own situation? How can we meet this Jesus that we've just seen you having an encounter with through the power of the Holy Spirit? What can we do? Gone was their joking. Gone was their own opinion. Sometimes we become so opinionated. This is how we do our religion. We need to get rid of that and say, Holy Spirit, will you come and move in my spirit? What can I do to draw close to you? What can I do to get rid of my own self-religion? This religious attitude that's judgmental. This religious attitude that looks at the outer person instead of the heart, the way that God does. And God can change us. What shall I do? I can tell you what to do tonight, church. Come and ask the Lord for a fresh touch from His Holy Spirit. Let Him renew. Let Him move in your life. Let Him bring about the change. The change that we can't see, He can see. The things that are inside us that aren't right, He can see it. Let us ask Him to come and deal with us. And let us have a fresh encounter with Him tonight. The third point is, the Holy Spirit comes and gives us the guidance that we need. And the very next verse, 2 verse 38, Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you. Now, I'm not saying you're all a bunch of sinners, yeah? Yes, we're all a bunch of sinners, saved by grace. Amen? So, I'm not saying that you all need to repent and be baptized, but what I'm showing you here is the Holy Spirit gave direction. Peter replied, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. What did they need? Those people that day needed salvation. They needed an encounter with Jesus. They needed to receive Him as Lord and Savior, and they needed to receive the Holy Spirit. We all need to receive the Holy Spirit. We receive the Holy Spirit when we get born again. But they needed the baptism of the Holy Spirit as well. The power. When you receive the Holy Spirit, you will receive power. And you will be my witnesses. That is what they needed. So the three areas of guidance that the Holy Spirit gave in this specific instance, Acts 2 verse 38, A, B, and C, I've called it this. The first one is repent, every one of you. You need to repent of your sins. You need to confess your sins and ask God to forgive you. Repent, turn away from them. Secondly, be baptized and be forgiven. So once they've repented, they need to be baptized. They need to follow Jesus through the waters of baptism. Baptism talks about leaving the old life, being dead to the old life, and being raised up in Christ to a new life in the Spirit. And the third thing that they needed to do was receive the Holy Spirit. So I want to ask you in your life, have you repented? If not, yes, you need to repent. Have you been baptized? You need to be baptized and be forgiven. You know, when we ask Jesus to forgive us, or ask the Father to forgive us in Jesus' name, we're forgiven. Right? And then thirdly, have you received the Holy Spirit? Have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the one who will give us guidance. He walks next to us. The Bible tells us the Holy Spirit is our teacher. He will teach us. He's our guide. He will show us the right path. Now, in your situation, it might not be that you need to be repent and baptized and receive the Holy Spirit. You may already have that. But every single day of our lives, we need the guidance of the Lord. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, and He will make your path straight. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6. We need to trust God to lead and guide and direct us. Maybe you need some direction. Maybe your life is on a track where, well, I don't know where I'm going. Maybe you need to make some big decisions. You need the Holy Spirit to help you to do that. And that is another challenge. If you need guidance and direction, the Holy Spirit will help you. And the next question I want to ask you in line with that is, are we being led by the Holy Spirit? The Bible says that those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Doesn't it say that in Romans 8? So are you still being led, or have you started to lean on your own understanding? Are you being led by your own intellect, by your own will, by your own plans? We need to ask God to come and take control once again. The fourth point is the Holy Spirit comes and He brings influence. Acts 2 verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, that influence to get people born again, it wasn't Peter's brilliance as a preacher. It was the first sermon he ever preached. It couldn't have been his power. It was the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit gave them influence to be able to effective as ministers of the gospel. And as that society grew, as the fledgling church grew, God gave them influence over society, and many were added. Every day, people were being added to the church. God gave them influence by the power of His Holy Spirit. It was a supernatural and a profound influence. They didn't have a church like this, a building that was beautiful that people could come to or be drawn to. They didn't have a worship team or instruments or lights or overhead projections. All they had was the Holy Spirit. They were simple people. Peter was a fisherman. And he was kind of an arrogant guy. But God came in and brought about the change. Gave him influence over people. And people gave their hearts to Jesus. And as a result, many, many people came to know the Lord. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you and I, the same thing can happen. The Lord's given us that word. He's got people in the city. How are we going to influence the people in the city that God has given us? By the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? The fifth point is that the Holy Spirit comes and brings constant lifestyle changes. Who's been changed as a result of walking with Jesus? Has your life changed? Amen? Is it a continual change? Have we maybe drifted back into some of the old ways? Has the same old become the same old? Are we walking in a circle in a rut? Let me tell you how that changed. Acts 2 verse 42. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. They changed in four ways. Their belief changed. They moved from the Judaic type of faith to Christianity. They started to believe in Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The apostles' doctrine. Secondly, the company they kept changed. They fellowshiped together. That doesn't mean there's not a place for us to go into places where there's unbelievers, because how else do we win the lost? But the company that kept changing, the Bible says in Proverbs, it says, bad company corrupts good morals. Okay? They started fellowshipping together. They started growing together. You need to be as part of a Christian group. Why? So that you can grow. So that you can keep tabs on each other. The Bible says that the heart is deceitful beyond everything. We need sometimes people to say, hey, where are you going? Where are you going? We need sometimes people to help us and encourage us in the Word. We need people to pray with us. We need the influence of godly men and women. Amen. So that's why you should be a part of a small group. It's really, you can't do this on your own. People who don't come to church, they lack the guidance that comes from the anointing, that comes from a corporate body. So we need to be with other people. So their company they kept was changed. Then their worship was changed. And how can I say that? Well, they broke bread daily. That wasn't something they used to do. Their worship was changed. When the Holy Spirit comes into your life, your worship changes. You start worshiping God, and it's not just singing. You start worshiping God all day long. It's not just about praise and worship. It's about your attitude towards God. You fall in love with Him all over again. And when I teach on worship, I love this word. You proskuneo. You kneel and you kiss toward God. It's an intimate type of worship. It talks about relationship with Him. He changes you on the inside. That's when the Holy Spirit comes upon your life. Your worship will change. And fourthly, their prayer life was changed. Did you know that? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, your prayer life will change. Because it said they did four things. The fourth one was they got together and they fellowshiped together and they prayed together in prayer. So when the Holy Spirit comes, if you've got a bit of a dead prayer life, you need to ask the Holy Spirit for a fresh touch, for a fresh indwelling. So He will change the way that we live. He will change our worship. Our beliefs will change. Our prayer life will change. And the company keep will change. These were not just flash in the pan changes. It wasn't something that was recorded and faded away. That's why the church still exists today. The Holy Spirit brought about lasting change. They continued steadfastly. They didn't just give up after 2 weeks or a month and got tired about it. They carried on. They did it with conviction and devotion. Have these changes taken place in our lives? Are we serving the Lord with our whole heart? Are we still dabbling in the world? Is there still some of the old left in us? And yes, there's still some of the old left in all of us, but are we going from glory to glory to glory, from faith to faith? We need to be changing on a daily basis, becoming more like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The sixth point is that the Holy Spirit comes and there are signs and wonders. We all understand that part. Acts 2:43, many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles. That is just one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, is miraculous signs, laying on hands on people and seeing them healed. But when the Holy Spirit comes, it's power. If there's no move of the Holy Spirit, if there's no people getting healed, if there's no supernatural happening, there's something wrong with the church. If it's not happening in our lives, there's something happening in our wrong in our own walk with the Lord. We need a fresh touch, fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit. Not a new baptism, just a renewal. Pastor Pat said, we don't need a new Pentecost. We've got Pentecost. We've read about it. But we need it to be renewed and refreshed in our lives. So when the supernatural is missing out of your life, then maybe you need a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Do we experience His manifest power? Do we have a form of glory denying its power? A form of godliness denying its power? What is your service of the Lord like? What are you experiencing personally? That is what we can get if we get a fresh touch of the Holy Spirit. And the final point is, when the Holy Spirit comes, the result is practical concern for one another. Acts 2 verse 44 to 45, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And it goes on to say later on, there was not a need amongst them. Are you blessing your brothers and your sisters? Are you sensitive to the needs of your brothers and your sisters? They shared everything. Some of them even sold property and gave it to the church. I mean, you know, Pastor, how long ago did somebody last sell a property and give it to us? We can go and build that new church. I'm just joking. But that's really what was happening. And when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, He gives us a concern for our brothers and sisters. We won't just walk down the street and ignore somebody. But even more so, we won't come to church and ignore those that are here with us. He'll give us a sensitivity. How many times has the Holy Spirit nudged you about somebody? Have you gone and prayed for them? Have you gone and helped them? Sometimes even with money or with goods. That's the real church. That's not the religious church that's judging. And I worry about what you wear and what you say and where you come from. It's real Christianity. Love. It's love manifest. And if that's not present in our lives, then we need a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit. Because it was the Holy Spirit that did it. It was after He came upon the church that they started caring for each other. They were together and had everything in common. So now I'm not so worried about my fancy new car or my bank balance or the fact that, you know, well, I don't have that much money in my own bank account, let alone how can I help him. I don't care. I'm just going to give it because I love him. And we'll trust the Lord with the rest. Amen? And that's what the Lord is bringing us to. He wants us to care and love one another. This was a changed heart that the Holy Spirit brought about in their lives. So I want to ask you, when last were we moved with compassion? The compassion of Christ. If you go and read about Christ's ministry, it says on a number of occasions He had compassion. He healed people out of compassion. The woman that came, there wasn't I think she was a Samaritan, or she wasn't a Jew, and he said, well, it's not your time now. And she said, but even the little dogs eat the crumbs that fall next to the table. And Jesus had compassion. He touched her. The woman who came and touched His robe, He had compassion on her. He wasn't upset because she'd come and now stolen His power. He had compassion. We need to reflect Christ. As I write the daily encouragements, I'm so often come to the place where I conclude and say, let us reflect the character of Christ. And how better to reflect the character of Christ than have compassion for the lost? How can we do that? How can we get better at it? By having the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit. So we need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We need to ask Him for a fresh touch. So there's a number of things I've said to you tonight, just in case you've forgotten. And I didn't summarize it, so I'm going to have to go through my points. The Holy Spirit comes and stirs the hearts of people. We need our hearts touched and stirred too. And if we're going to minister to people, we need Him to go before us and touch their hearts and stir them up. Secondly, when the Holy Spirit comes, we suddenly realize how much We need God. Brothers, what shall we do? Thirdly, the Holy Spirit comes and gives us the guidance we need. He will show us what to do. Confess, repent, be baptized, receive the Holy Spirit. Do this, do that. I'll show you where to go. I'll show you what to do tomorrow. I'll show you what to do about that relationship. I'll show you how to find that new job. I'll show you how to make this financial decision. God will show us. The Holy Spirit comes and brings influence. When He's present in our lives, we can touch thousands. We can see this church filled overnight. I mean, our church would have been way too small. I don't know how they did it. 3,000 people. Can you imagine that? What a wonderful problem to have. Maybe that's why they had to go from house to house. They didn't have a sanctuary that was big enough. Point five, the Holy Spirit comes and brings constant lifestyle changes. He'll change your beliefs, your company that you keep, your worship and your prayer life. That was the four examples. And He'll change you in a way that is long lasting. The Holy Spirit comes and there are signs and wonders. Who doesn't want the power of God manifest in their life? Who doesn't want to experience God moving, bringing miracles, people being healed, miraculous faith, things happening all the time? We need that. That is also a sign to those on the outside that the God we serve is real. And the Holy Spirit will come, the seventh point, and bring true practical concern. And I want to just conclude by reading this last bit of Scripture, Acts 26, 2 verse 46 to 47. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. When we have the Holy Spirit in our lives, there's something else that happens. There's a blessing that comes. The first blessing is unity. They were in one accord. Secondly, they had gladness. They did eat meat, their meat with gladness. Doesn't mean they had it easy, but they had gladness. They had the joy of the Lord. Thirdly, they had purpose. Singleness of heart. They had purpose. Church, the one thing we need is purpose. We need singleness of heart. If we're going to take the city for Christ, we need to have one purpose. We need to be together in this thing. And we have got a purpose. There's people out there that are going to go to hell because they don't know Jesus. They had freedom to praise. They praised God together. They enjoyed favor. They had favor with all the people. Isn't that amazing? Imagine wherever you go, God just gives you favor. Glenn, can you imagine putting one of these crusades together? And wherever you go, just God just opens the doors. May the Lord bless you with it and the group that you work with. Multiplication and growth. We need multiplication and growth in the church. And it'll also give us a sense of achievement. It's not our power, but the Lord's power moving in us. And finally, they were being used by God to change the world that they live in. We need to impact the world that we live in. If we are just living as Christians in our own little holy huddle, we achieve nothing. We need to impact the world that we live in. Amen. So I trust that those blessings and those areas that the Holy Spirit can bring about change in our lives kind of touched you in one way or another. Maybe struck a chord with you. And as we pray tonight, and we're going to wrap up the service now, and I'm going to ask for a time of prayer. I can ask for the worship team to come forward. And then while you're forward, when we're praying for the people, please just come down one by one and let us also anoint you. So let us stand tonight. I'm going to close in prayer, and then I'm going to ask, if you want a fresh touch from the Holy Spirit, if you feel that you could use some of this, come forward and we're going to pray for you. We're going to pray for fresh oil and new wine. That's what Pentecost is all about. Fresh oil and new wine. Amen. Let's stand together.